Hello, this is Blima Burshad, and welcome to this episode of The Aparo Effect. Today, I am passing the host reins to Kim Lanfear, Aparo's CEO. Kim, take it away.
Great. And you know, today is a really great example of the Aparo Effect. One of the things I talk about all the time is how much I love the community that we build. It's not part of our mission, but it is certainly a big part of what happens as we connect skilled volunteers in the technology space to business process and technology needs of nonprofits in the greater Charlotte area. And so today we're talking to an Aparo board member and past and current skilled volunteer and incredible community engagement philanthropist and just all around great guy, Marcus Hill, and I'll have him introduce himself in just a moment. And so this is just a fireside chat. We're just going to chat and talk about the importance of philanthropy in the community, the importance of skilled volunteering, and anything else that strikes us as interesting to talk about today. So Marcus, why don't you start by telling us who you are, what you do professionally, title and all that kind of stuff, and a little bit about your association to North Carolina. How about that?
My name is Marcus Hill. I'm the Chief Information Officer for Rogers Builders. I grew up in Western North Carolina and have spent, you know, most of my life inside of North Carolina. And basically, it's been my home.
Great. And so thinking about you as the Chief Information Officer of Rogers Builders, which is a international firm or a national firm?
National, but mostly just regional construction.
Regional construction. Talk a little bit about how you got to the role that you're in. What interested you about technology, and what how did you get into the field of technology? Was it on purpose, or was it, you know?
It was on purpose, kind of. as a kid, I was a kid that tore everything apart to see how it worked. And when I graduated high school, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And actually did a stint as a photographer and a reporter. And loved technology, always curious about the way things worked and how things went together. And as a teenager, I started doing some basic programming and stuff like that. But it wasn't until, you know, probably after working as a reporter that I kind of got the idea that I was capable of kind of doing some technology. And like everything else in life, you get there with the help of your friends and family and everything else. And I had two good friends who really kind of were mentors to me and kind of showed me the ropes as far as the way that technology worked, and that built up. And next thing you know, I had my own company. And then after that, I went to work for a Fortune 500 company and did IT for them for a few years, and then came to Rogers and have been there for the last 18.
What was the company that you started that you said you had an IT company?
It was an extremely small consulting firm in Southwest Virginia that focused primarily on attorneys and accounting offices. And it was one of the greatest educations of my life. And I learned I wasn't going to be a small businessman after that.
So you've been an entrepreneur, and you've been a global IT guy, and you're now a regional lead of technology. Along the way, how would you say your passion evolved, deepened, lessened, whatever, around the concept of technology, perhaps even technology as an enabler?
I think the thing that I saw was when I first started playing with computers, it was just like, wow, I did that. and I think that that's very addictive. And then I think you start seeing that, wow, I did that. Said, wow, I can do this, too. It becomes, wow, they can do this. And, you know, that whole evolution that went from a single PC to the network, to combining the networks and everything else, the empowerment that that brings, and kind of the ability to kind of capture the way it all hooks together. And then you kind of put that toward the way that it can change companies, One of the things I did, even when I was, had my small company, one of the big things we did was we worked with a couple of nonprofits, essentially pro bono, that just helping them understand what technology could do for them and just seeing, really how much help that they needed. So, working in small companies, you got an idea of how much technology can benefit them. Then getting into a larger company, you see the impact, and again, it has to be more strategic, it has to be planned out. It's tougher to turn. But I think, through it all, the thing I've seen is that technology does create change, and if planned properly, that change can be transformational and a wonderful thing.
One of the things I wonder about, because I come to my role in technology from a creative standpoint, from the arts side of the picture, music and visual arts and dance, but I see an alignment, and I'm just curious if you see that. I hear you talking about, your love for using this technology to transform, and I wonder if there isn't a sense of creativity in that, of a little bit of ownership, a little bit of that's mine that I did, and I tweaked it just the right way, which is kind of the same thing an artist feels in some ways. There's that equal passion. Do you see that, or is that just me making that up?
No, I think you're right. I think one of the things that my mind flashes back to a lot is growing up on a small farm, you learn to do with what you have. And, be it using a coat hanger to put a fence that's pulled down at 2 o'clock in the morning back up so you can get the cows back in. You kind of learn with technology that there's creative ways that you can use stuff that may fit or may not fit. Kind of the way that it's supposed to work. But yeah, I think there is a satisfaction in kind of making something out of what you're doing. I think one of the toughest things in technology is when you see technical obsolescence claim your children, essentially. So you build something, you nourish it, you get it running, and then something comes out and you're just like, okay, this is the end of this because, you got to move on. There's something better and faster and cheaper. And but yeah, that development, that creativity and kind of creation, I don't know what the right word for it is, but yeah, that's part of it. I enjoy that very much.
I love that phrase, technical obsolescence claiming your technology, creations, basically your children. I love that. That's very intuitive. I like that. So along this concept of passion, passion for technology, the creation process of technology and the transformative power of technology, you are also a very philanthropic individual. I know Marcus fairly well, and I get to hear from him on regular occasions about the incredible power of philanthropy in his life, how he believes it is such an important power in the community. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about that. That may be too vague a question, so if it is, let me know and I'll try to sharpen it, hone it a little bit. But what would you share with us about your beliefs on philanthropy and your involvement in it? And
Well, I think that philanthropy is a very big word for
yes, it
somebody from
is.
Western North Carolina. Not that we don't have big vocabularies, but I think the thing that I was raised with was just a sense of giving back. And I think that there's a lot of needs in the community. And I think that there's, we should try to help those when we can and figure out ways to, make life a little bit easier for those folks. And I think that enriches us in the process.
It's a wonderful two-way street that can look very one way, but actually benefits everybody at the table. I agree with that. Of course, I'm going to have to bring this conversation around to Aparo at some point here because, you're on the board and I'm the CEO. So, we're going to talk about it at some point. So it seems to me that intersection of philanthropy and passion is a great place to bring that together because, I always think about it with Aparo. Just for those of you who don't know, Aparo engages skilled volunteers in work that empowers nonprofits through technology and business process guidance. And that can look like anything from literally advice and guidance to education, as well as projects to elevate their ability to deliver services in our community more efficiently and effectively. So I'll leave it at that. So I've always thought in the process of that mission that we have this unique place where we sit between the passion of the technologist who I find uniquely, again, just kind of like the artist who's really passionate about that. I find technologists, people who are in that technology space, so passionate about what that technology can do and what it can enable. And then you have these nonprofits on the other side who are so passionate about the mission that they're delivering. And sometimes when you have two passions like that, you never have an intersection. And so we create that intersection. And I think it's a really unique intersection. And you have personally, as well, have brought your teams along to do this giving back through technology skill volunteering. And I wonder if you might talk a little bit about how that resonates for your teams, how it's unique for you. I mean, giving back and volunteering in all ways is important. You might want to pack a backpack for a student. You might want to build a house for Habitat for Humanity. There's all kinds of things. Paint an apartment for someone who is, you know, going to be getting housing. All kinds of ways to give back that isn't skilled, but you're professionally skilled. And so I wonder if you might talk a little bit about that difference of when you choose to do this kind of skilled technology volunteering and how that is different or similar to when you want to go, you know, serve food on the food line.
That's a lot in there. Let me see if I can unpack it. I think the thing with Aparo that is so wonderful and just unique is the ability for someone who has skills, professional skills or technical skills, to be able to donate those in a very meaningful and impactful way. You know, my prior work with nonprofits, even going back, you know, 25 years ago, the problem was is there was no boundary. There wasn't kind of a project manager type situation where scope could get out of control and it could become like a full-time job just taking care of the nonprofit. You know, one thing that Aparo does is fantastic is it provides that buffer. And once you have that buffer in place, it allows you to be extremely impactful to the mission of the nonprofit that Aparo is serving. And, you know, it's wonderful on multiple levels. One, just from a standpoint of we're going to do something and we're going to help somebody and they're going to help a whole lot more people. We're going to make them so they can help more people easier, quickly than they could before. On a selfish standpoint, from a technology side, you get to go in and you get to do something and you get to make the change and you get to feel the change a whole lot faster than you typically would in your own organization. So it's something that you can, you know, sometimes you'll get on a project in your day job and it may take a year or 18 months to see the impact. And a lot of times the impact may even go unnoticed because they're used to having technology. They're used to things working. We're working with a small nonprofit or somebody like in that doesn't have the technology, who doesn't have the resources that, you know, a big company has typically. They see the small things and they appreciate the small things. And as a volunteer, you get to see that impact up front and you get to feel it and you get to see how that change happens. And I think, you know, from a professional standpoint, bringing that back into the organization, you come back with a new set of ideas sometimes and even new skills. You learn things you didn't know because you're challenged with things you didn't see. And I know at Rogers, we've brought back stuff from doing small engagements for nonprofits that at first there was no parallel or nothing that you could say, hey, this could help us. But then you get in there and you see the questions and you get an understanding of what they're trying to do. And it makes you think about what you got to do for them, but it also makes you think about what you're doing for the nonprofit you're serving. So it's very fulfilling in multiple ways. It's just such a wonderful experience to be able to share what you love and what you're passionate about in a very well-managed, thought-out way that provides the most impact to the nonprofit.
So we're just gonna have to make a commercial out of that, because that was like really good. That just covered, like, yeah, okay, that's why we do skilled volunteering facilitation. Yay. Speaking for somebody who's actually done it. And so it's a good, honest testimonial, not a pre-forced one here. Does your team agree with that, do you think? Do you think people in the team find that same thing? Do you get that feedback, or maybe they don't give feedback? I don't know.
Yeah. And again, I think a lot of what you try to do as a leader inside your company is listen to the heartbeat of your team and understand what's important to them. And you know, the culture at Rogers is very community-based and very giving-based. And I've been fortunate enough to surround myself with people who have the kind of the same goals and stuff. And it's really wonderful, because you have folks who are saying, okay, when we're going to do the next community impact project, when's LaVon going to call us and say, hey, we need you to do something else for us. I think that it builds the whole, it builds excitement, because the same stuff that I feed on as far as feeling that sense of accomplishment, I think the team feels it. And the other thing that's worked for us, that's went really well, is not just bring in folks off of our, you know, Rogers family, but actually bring in some of the really close companies that we work with and offer, you know, and we ask, but, you know, it's always been, yeah, we'll be glad to come out and, you know, help do something that we may not have the internal skills to do. But it turns it into a real kind of team building type exercise, where they understand what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. And again, when you see what these nonprofits are doing and you understand what their challenges are and you see the mission, you get really addicted to how can we help these people? It's a very fulfilling thing to help people that are so passionate about helping other folks.
We've had several instances where volunteers become permanent volunteers with nonprofits, or in several instances become board members. And I think it has to do with that unique perspective of a skilled volunteer. You get to look behind the curtain. You know, when you go and you volunteer with a nonprofit, of course you're serving their mission, and of course you're doing some really important things in the community. You're touching people who need help. When you go as a skilled volunteer behind the scene with a technology or business process, you get to see how the magic is made. And in some ways, I think it gives you a less idealistic and more realistic picture of what the nonprofit is doing and why you might even be more passionate about how they're getting it done. Do you agree with that, or is that?
Well, I think a lot of folks who work in IT understand, they see a lot of the behind the scenes, and you know, they're very realistic about the expectations that are placed on us sometimes. And that. But I think when you see an organization that just having a phone system with voicemail that can be accessed remotely, how that can transform the way that they can take care of people and make life, you know, easier for folks that are dealing with really, you know, just unimaginable issues. But just being able to see something and the impact, you see, you know, how the sausage is made, so to speak. But I think the wonderful thing is you see in the nonprofits that the pursuit is about making people's lives better. And again, it's a whole lot easier in a lot of cases to solve some of these problems, because many of the problems that we've seen are not, you know, massive. I think the first community impact project we did, we sat down and we heard the whole spiel about what we were going to try to do and the goals and stuff. And we were really overwhelmed. And then the head of the organization said, well, if you can just get my mouse working, I'll be happy. And that really kind of summed up a lot of what we see. Again, you're talking about behind the scenes. A lot of times the nonprofits don't have a concept of what's capable for them. And they may not even have, or they may have an idea of what's capable, but they have no idea how to get there.
And they don't have the language to ask.
And they don't have the language to ask or the money to pay or, you know, a whole lot of different things. And seeing that kind of spectrum, it really, you know, somebody who is looking to help others and figure out better ways to do things, you know, it's a wonderful place to kind of be and to feel good about what you're doing.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the story. Thank you for leaning in and being such an advocate for Aparo's mission and for giving back in the community in general. I feel honored to know you and work alongside you. I think you do great things in this community and you lift relationships in a very meaningful way. So thank you. And thank you, folks, for listening to the Aparo Effect today. I hope you take away some, insights as to what Aparo does and how really passionate people make our mission possible. So thank you, Marcus.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the Aparo Effect. Please subscribe to us at Podbean. And we will be back in touch next month.